This morning we're going to start out by looking at the family, by looking at the family of God as a group, as a body of believers that we are here as Peninsula Bible Fellowship. And then more specifically, we're going to be looking at a particular family here at the church who's expressed their desire to raise their daughter in a knowledge of Christ, so that as she grows, she might understand God's grace. Ted used to often say, the family holds together by a thread. And in the world that we live in, and as the pressures of the world press in against the family, it's becoming increasingly harder as a family to be able to hold ourselves together, to be able to be that strong-knit, Christ-centered body that we should be as a church, first of all, but also as an individual family. A couple months ago, Nancy came to me. Nancy, and I do apologize. Your last name, Klingel. I've known her as Nancy Nelson since for about 9 years now. And she's now married and has a daughter, and she and Jacob and I had lunch together yesterday. And it was a wonderful time because we got to do what families should do, spend some time together and get to know each other a little bit better and get to share the love that we have for the Lord with each other. And as I was beginning to say, Nancy Klingel and Jacob have expressed to me that they would like to raise their daughter in a home that is centered around Christ. And as we move through these days, and as the world presses harder and harder against anything that resembles a faith-based family, Christ-centered family, as the world presses against that, I think we as a body of believers need to be a support for each other, to raise each other up, that we might walk in our relationship with Christ more strongly because of the support each of us are giving to each other. So as I was beginning to say, Nancy a couple months ago came to me and asked me if they might come forward and express to you their desire to raise their child in a Christ-centered family. Now, if you would take the tradition that the church built up over the years since Christ set up the church built up some traditions that were not necessarily biblically based. And so this might resemble an infant baptism. This is not what this is. This is just the opportunity for Nancy and Jacob to come before you and say, our desire is to raise our daughter in a Christ-centered home. And so with that, I'd like them to come forward. And they've asked their mother, and Nancy's mother and father, and Nancy's sister to come up and stand with them to say that they are also going to be with them to help encourage them in their walk with their Savior, that they might live their lives in the way that their daughter will see Christ. So Nancy and Jacob, if you will come up with your family. And we spent some time working out how we were going to do this, and so they're going to come up. And I'm just going to ask them a couple questions, and we'll go from there. You know, why do we call ourselves a family? Why do we call the body of believers a family? And I see it as because we are adopted by Christ into God's family. And I get that from Galatians 4, verse 5 through 7, and from many other places too, but I'm going to use that for my reference today. But when the set time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. Because you are sons, you are His sons. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but God's child. And since you are God's child, God has made you also an heir. As having been adopted as children of God, made heirs, and we are part of His family. A family who has the responsibility to become a strength for each other and to hold each other up. It is with joy then that we should hold each other close as we grow in our walk with the Savior. As I talked to Jacob and Nancy yesterday, we talked about the fact that what we want to do here is not to be a ritual. It's not to be making vain promises that we can't hope to commit to, but just to express our relationship with Christ and our love we have for our Lord. And so this morning, Jacob and Nancy would like to make that public statement to tell you of their desire to raise their daughter, Lorelai. And this is Lorelai, and she's a sweetheart, by the way. When we were having lunch together, she sat there for over an hour without ever fussing. Well, one time she bumped her chin and she cried for about 30 seconds, and then she was happy again. She's a sweetheart. Got to get to know her. But they would like to raise Lorelai in a way that will be mindful of God and give Lorelai the opportunity to see Christ's redemptive work lived out in the lives of her parents, in the lives of those people who are dear to them. As I said before, this is not an infant baptism. It's not an act which changes Lorelai in any way. It is a way for her parents to publicly express their desire to raise her in a Christ-centered home. You know, I even hesitate to use the word dedication, because they are not like Hannah, who was dedicating her son Samuel to be raised in the temple and to serve God there. This is not what that is. It is, and I also won't ask them to make vain promises that they can't hope to commit to. But I will ask what their desire is this morning, and if that desire is for them to raise their daughter in a Christ-centered home. What we're doing here is allowing a father and mother to publicly state that they will strive to set an example in their lives that they lead so that Lorelai might see Christ through them. And that as she understands, she might also place her faith in Him, and in doing so, receive the redemption that He so freely offers, and experience the relationship that God desires to have with all people. Jacob and Nancy, is it your desire to allow Christ to shine through you in a way that will allow Lorelai to see Christ, the hope of glory, in you? Will you strive to remain faithful to our Lord in your walk with Him, that you might be a testament of His love for your daughter? As I ask you this, I acknowledge the fact that we live our lives as weak flesh, being flesh-based people. I fully realize that there will be times when you will not be mindful of God, and I don't ask that you promise something that you can't do. What I do ask is that you will strive to be faithful in His leading in your lives, that Lorelai might see Him in you. Is that your desire and why you bring your daughter here today? Okay. Now let me introduce Grandma and Grandpa and Lorelai's aunt. This is Wilbur and Cheryl Nelson, and Uncle Robert and Aunt Gwen. Cheryl, Wilbur, Gwen, and Robert, will you try to encourage Nancy and Jacob to walk closely with their Lord? Will you also strive to be faithful to our Savior in your walk with him, that you may be an example to Lorelai as she grows, in the hope that she might see the outworking of Christ's grace in you? Is this your desire in standing here with Jacob and Nancy today? Okay. So PBF family, it's my hope that as a body of believers, we might help and encourage Jacob and Nancy in their efforts to raise Lorelai in an atmosphere that will paint a vivid picture of God's love for her. A home where the mindfulness of God is evident in the daily living of their lives. A home where their walk with the Savior will be clearly seen, so that Lorelai might be encouraged to place her faith in Christ, to be the payment for her sins, and to be able to experience the salvation that he freely offers. I hope we as a family will get to know Jacob and Nancy and be an encouragement to them in their walk with the Savior, and also Lorelai, because she's a sweetheart. As God brings them to mind, please pray for them. And pray with me that Jacob and Nancy will be the parents that God would have them to be. So let's take a moment now and pray as we pray for them. Dear Lord, I just ask that you'll be with Jacob and Nancy as they raise their daughter. We so acknowledge how hard it is to raise a child with you as the center of our lives, and we know that we need your strength. Please give them the strength to be the parents that you would have them to be. And Lord, help us as a body of believers to be there for them, to support them and to encourage them, and to walk beside them as they lead their lives centered in you. Thank you for the love and the grace that you give us. Thank you for your example as an incredible Father to us. In Jesus' name I pray. So let me introduce to you Lorelai Klingle. As I said earlier, I got to spend yesterday having lunch with this wonderful couple and their daughter, and it was a lot of fun. But one of the most exciting things to me was as the meal progressed, we got to share our love for our Lord with each other and talk about how he's impacted our lives. And so I hope that you guys have the opportunity, as I did yesterday, to get to know them a little bit better. But this whole family is a wonderful family that loves the Lord. And I just ask that you'll get to know them as I got to know them a little bit yesterday, and be able to be a support to them as they continue to raise their daughter. Thank you so much. And Nancy has asked that we would, as a congregation, sing a song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I'm going to turn my mic off and go sit down because I don't want to hurt your ears.
good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when I'm a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for.
What an exciting time to be living. We look at what's going on in the world so often today, and we think about the hardships, and we think about the struggles that we face. But it is an exciting time, too, for us to be living, and it's an exciting time to be, as a body of believers, to stand together firmly for the Lord. Because of the song service and the great messages that were taught there, I'm not going to be speaking very long at all today. But I did want to take just a few minutes to again look at the book of Colossians. And then next week we'll progress a little bit more on our study in Colossians. But I wanted to start by reading the first 7 verses in Colossians and then discussing that a little bit before we conclude today. Paul, an apostle by Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people at Colossae, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day that you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now, as we talked over the last couple of weeks, the body of believers that met in Colossae met as a result of being told of God's love for them by Epaphras. Epaphras learned of God's love through Paul in Ephesians, in the city of Ephesus. He then traveled to Colossae and set up a church there, the believers that heard his message of God's love and responded in faith to his leading. And as we read this, we read Paul starting the letter very similar to how he starts all his letters to the believers. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, it's important to remember that this is not just a a pat first century greeting. It's not like saying, hi, how are you today? When we really don't care so much about how we are, we're just trying to express a greeting to somebody. When Paul says to God's holy people in Colossae, this is not just a statement that he makes. He's addressing these people as a body of believers that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that have experienced God's love and the forgiveness that he gives to his people when they place their faith in him. As we place our faith in Christ, he redeems us from the sinful life that we've known to be his holy ones. I remember back to when Larry Pat was the pastor here, and he often spoke of God and his relationship with us and how God relates to us in how he talks of us. Larry would say that God's favorite name for believers is saints, because it's the word that God uses in his scriptures the most to refer to us. And that word over the generations, over the millennia since Christ was here, has come to have a different meaning than what it often did, or what it really does in the original Greek. And what in the original Greek, the word saints means God's holy ones. So when God addresses us, he addresses us as his holy ones. Now, when I look at myself, I very often don't see myself as God's holy one, because I look at myself as the flesh-driven man that I so often am. But in the reality of who I am God's holy one, not because of anything that I have done, not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is in me. So when Paul addresses the church of Colossae, he's looking at the church of Colossae as a group of believers that have placed their faith in him and received God's redemption. God bought them with a price, and that price was the blood of his son. That price was Christ's death on the cross for them. And in doing so, in placing their faith with him, God made them a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are no longer that broken vessel of flesh that they were. They are now his holy ones. But the holiness that we know now is not us, but Christ in us. And later in Colossians, we'll read that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is who we are as believers. We need not look at ourselves as that broken vessel that we were, that flesh-based evilness that we were. But we are now God's holy ones, created by him to be new beings, to be new creations, because of the blood of Christ when he died on the cross for us. And that by placing our faith in him, we now know a relationship that God wanted to have with us from the start of creation, that was broken by sin, but now restored by Christ's blood. So as Paul addresses the people of Colossae, he addresses them as holy ones. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We also thank God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. And we remember that a good litmus test, a good way of seeing if a body of believers is healthy and growing and strong, is by their faith and by the love that they have for each other. And as Paul looked at the church of Colossae, he saw a church that had placed their faith in Christ, have placed their faith in Him to be the propitiation for their sins, the payment for their sins. And they express this by the love they had for each other. And it's important to remember that that love that we have for each other is born out of our relationship with Christ. As we know and experience our love for Christ for more and more, that love just can't help but ooze out of us. The more we know and understand the heart of the Father, and the more we have our relationship and build our relationship with Christ, the more that relationship pours out to each other. If we try to do it in the flesh, oh, it's my duty to go and love you because I'm a Christian. If that is our mindset, then we're going to fail miserably. But if our mindset is, Lord, help me to experience the love that you have for me. Help me to understand that in the relationship that you want to have with me. And then to spend our lives in building that relationship, then that love flows out of us for each other. And that's why, as we look at the church, if we see a church that's loving one another, we see a healthy church. It's not because of the efforts that we put in, but because of us allowing God to live His life through us. And then pouring that love out to each other, allowing that love then to flow to each other. And as I have expressed before and talked about last week, it's like that sponge underneath the faucet. That's hard and crusty to begin with, but as that water flows into us and fills us, as God's love flows into us and fills us, as we understand and experience that and learn to know Him more, it can't help but flow out of us that we love each other the way Christ loved us. And with that, let's conclude and pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that as we walk with you and as our lives grow closer to you, that we might allow your love to flow through us to each other, that we might truly be the body that we are, the family that we are, showing the love and support for each other. I thank you for the opportunity to have Jacob and Nancy bring their daughter here before us today and express their love for you. And I just ask that we might be a support for them and a strengthening for them as they walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.